In the name of God, Creator, Savior, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in a world of great complexity, in which it is impossible for us to comprehend its ultimate boundaries. From time to time, we might get an inkling of something that unifies and holds it all together into a common purpose and meaning. Just the same, if we have such glimpses, we lack the words to describe adequately or to give name to all there is to appreciate and what we are experiencing. In the Jewish tradition, one does not even try to pronounce a word in one word, that which we sense is the ultimate core of all being. Instead, the Hebrews gave four letters, YHWH, as a kind of shorthand for what they could not say. It was not meant to be pronounceable. When a reader sees these consonants in a text, in speaking out loud, he will substitute for them the Lord or God in place of those letters. The YHWH serves as a marker to all those that are hearing that we are not really capable of giving in one expression that can put into a nutshell all that we want to convey about God. Even with those limitations of our human minds to try to fathom the vastness of the divine principle underlying all things, our ancestors sought some means through which they could relate to others that growing awareness they had about that reality of something beyond themselves. And what they found was close at hand, everyday elements fundamental to our well-being, like fire and water and wind and food. And these basic necessities form such a close part of our lives that they could point into many different directions, to different aspects of our lives that could be unpacked into numerous levels of meaning. The multifaceted character of such central symbols permitted them to serve as a more suitable means for conveying the abundance of all that we experience in our relationship to God than just mere words as labels could do. Let's take, for example, the water of baptism. We think of that in particular in the Epiphany season. The symbolism of water is relevant not only because it's our rite through which we become Christians, but also because we are observing just now the celebration of the baptism of Jesus by John. And water has connotations for us because of its life-sustaining nature. And as well, it's an agent for cleansing. And paradoxically, water is not only life-giving, but it's also life-threatening, as the recent hurricane season has just dramatically shown us. And all of these implications of water have bearing on our understanding of our relationship with God that we Christians have come to through our baptism. Now, today, on the day of Epiphany, we have in our reading another such potent symbol like that of water in Christian baptism. Today, the symbol we're focusing on is the symbol of light. Light is a central symbol in that first reading from Isaiah. We heard, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you." We have been anticipating the arrival of this pronouncement on Epiphany Day since the beginning of Advent, as we lit the candles of the Advent wreath, and then the Christmas candle on Christmas Eve. And on that Christmas Eve night, we will have heard the text, perhaps, from the Gospel of John as it announces the incarnation of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It seems most appropriate that we hold up light as our motif at just this time of year when our days are shortest and the sun lies closest to the horizon. Shadows lengthen, the colors are dull, the nights prolong, and springtime is but a distant memory. Nonetheless, we will uplift the light of Christ again at the Easter Vigil, as we light the new fire and bring the paschal candle into the darkened interior of the church. This is our affirmation of John's good news that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the end, even death cannot overshadow us, but Christ's resurrection has illuminated the gloom. Just so today we have before us the light for which we have waited. It's that same light for which the Magi from the east were watching and waiting. When the bright light appears in the sky, it signifies not just the turning of the season from winter back to spring that the light of Epiphany can mean to us today. For the Magi then, as well as for us today, the light acts as a guide. It illuminates the path forward to where we will meet our Savior as one of us. An epiphany, literally, is a showing forth, a revealing that appears as something is brought into the light. Another word that our English translations of the Bible commonly use that has nuances of splendor, brilliance and radiance is the word glory. So the epiphany to the Magi that we observe in our celebrations today is really the enlightenment brought to them by God's glory appearing to them and to us in human form in the infant Jesus. Thus, the symbol of light at this time of year alludes to the dawns that will now come earlier and earlier each day. And the light of the ever-lengthening days causes us to remember that without light, plants and life as we know it would cease to exist. Plants depend directly on photosynthesis for their energy, and animals indirectly depend upon the light from the plants through our consumption of the plants. Light is life-giving. Light is as well a beacon for us. Light unveils for us things that have hidden in the shadows. Symbols like light allow people to go beyond what we can ordinarily define in mere words. And a symbol like light can create linkages between many different concepts and experiences and can communicate a much broader spectrum of meanings than mere words as naming things can. Furthermore, we can join symbols like light and water together into narratives, like the chronicle of the journey of the Magi from the East that we've heard this morning. And we can immerse ourselves in these storylines of symbols to ask ourselves questions like, where am I being drawn by that light, like the star that guides the Magi to Bethlehem? What have I brought to offer as a gift in return to the source of this light-giving life? What will have changed for me when I return from my daily routines and activities after I bathed in such light as God's glory? What direction must I take so that I can bypass evil and not return back by the same route? Throughout this coming Epiphany season that we're beginning today, we will focus on potent symbols like light and water. Our scripture readings will invite us into surroundings that will enable us to attend to questions for ourselves, like those we've been asking about the Magi. Those questions from the Christmas tale from Matthew's Gospel, of light coming into the darkness for the wise men, in which we're reminded of our Savior now showing us the way, of light overcoming the darkness, of God's ongoing work to save the world. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, continues to ring out in the Epiphany season, even as our season of Christmas carols is now almost past us. With Epiphany day here and the last day of Christmas now about past us, my family will begin to take down our Christmas decorations. We'll remove the Advent wreath from the church. We'll remove the lights from our eaves troughs on the balconies. And as we take these down, we are still to take the light of that Christmas story with us. I want to carry that light of Christ within myself so that I, like you, can shine Christ's light in our place in the world. So we may be shutting off some of our electrical lights as we take these decorations down. But God has left the light on for all of us. May God, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, bless us and fill us with peace throughout this Epiphany season and the 2018 New Year. Amen.